Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And he tells us a great deal here about his ministry and what made it effective. And it's not the things that most people think you have to do in ministry in order to make it effective. And that's why this is so vitally important, that we learn from the Apostle Paul what it is that makes ministry effective. And of course, we have to start out by, well, we don't have to start out, but I think it would be helpful for us to start out by thinking for a few moments about the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the obvious effectiveness that it had. It was incredibly effective. I really don't know any other person in the New Testament who had a ministry that even came close to being as fruitful as Paul's, if we're measuring it in terms of conversions and churches planted across the Roman world. There may have been others that aren't recorded in Scripture, but we don't know of any that are for sure, because all we know is what the Scripture records for us. And Paul is head and shoulders above everybody else in that category. Incredibly effective ministry. And yet, he did it all wrong, by the way people think it ought to be done today. He just ignored cultural trends. He ignored societal expectations. He ignored the kinds of things that interested people to draw them in so that he could kind of get their attention with other things and then slip the gospel in after he'd already got their attention with something else. He said, I don't do any of that. No, I don't do any of that. I reject cultural accommodations. I utilize just a simple proclamation of the gospel, and I avoid secondary issues. I just preach the word of God, and trust God to make it effective. Trust God to make people pay attention. Trust God to give people an interest in it. If God does, they will be interested. If God doesn't, they won't, and there's nothing I can do to change that. You see, the difference between Paul's approach and ours is that we think we can do things that we can't, because we're too inflated in our opinion about ourselves, and we're too man-centered in our approach to ministry, and we're not paying careful attention to the Word of God. And so that's why this is so important, that we listen to the venerable Apostle Paul and learn what he has to teach us in this area. So to that end, I thank you for joining me on this Friday, May the 7th. And I thank those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. All right, on the last couple of days on the broadcast, we have examined Paul's philosophy of ministry in verses 1 and 2. Now we come to Paul's, what I've called Paul's feelings about ministry in verse 3, when he says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. This talks about his physical state, his emotional state, and his reasons for this disclosure. Paul's feelings about ministry. In regard to his physical state, he came to them in much weakness. And most Bible scholars believe that he's talking about bodily weakness of some kind, but some assign that word weakness to his emotional state as well. The New Testament is very clear that Paul did suffer from bodily weaknesses of various kinds. He talks about that, particularly in 2 Corinthians, chapters 10 and 11 and 12. He refers to this again and again and again. His physical weakness, his thorn in the flesh, his physical disabilities, the injuries that he incurred throughout his ministry and that he carried with him throughout the remainder of his life, and the scars and the healed broken bones and so forth that he carried with him and caused him pain. He was definitely ministering out of weakness, not out of strength. He wasn't a big, robust, impressive preacher, young, strong man in the peak of health, but he came as the aged apostle who really was prematurely aged. He wasn't all that old when he wrote these words to the Corinthian church, probably in his 50s. To some people that would be old, but to others not so old, and I'll let you be a judge of how you consider that. That has to do with the way we perceive things and the way we feel about it, and many times it has to do with our own age. If you're under the age of 50, very far under, you might look at age 50 as being fairly old. If you're my age, you look at age 50 as being fairly young. But that's beside the point. What we know is that Paul was in a state of physical weakness most of the time when he came to minister, and particularly that was true when he came to minister in the city of Corinth. He tells us that here. I was with you, Corinthians, in weakness. His physical state. But then he tells us about his emotional state. In fear and in much trembling. What caused that fear? Well, surely when he considered the task that he was called upon to do, to preach the gospel to as many people as he could, far and wide, and to engage people with the gospel. And when he thought about it from the human standpoint, when he thought about it the way we often think about it, the very way I'm trying to encourage you not to think about it, but he was a human being and he had those ideas too. And so he would wonder, am I going to be accepted? Am I going to be respected? Are people going to listen to me? Are they going to give me a hearing? Or are they going to run me out of town? Are they going to throw me into jail? Are they going to stone me? Now, we don't have to worry about things like that, but Paul did. He ran into that sort of thing pretty regularly, didn't he? So no wonder he said, I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. But what this tells us is that in Paul's ministry, he did not have a great deal of self-confidence. He's revealing that to us now. Now, the world would consider that to be a pretty serious deficit when it comes to ministry. If you're going to be an effective minister, you can't be emotionally unsure of yourself. If you are, then that's going to come through in your ministry, and that people are going to detect that. So you're going to have to deal with that and get over it, because when you do public ministry, you've got to come across with confidence. Paul said, I didn't. I came to you in weakness. I came to you in fear and much trembling. And so the idea that we must develop, if we don't already have it, must develop self-confidence to succeed would have been very foreign to the Apostle Paul. And he stated this condition as a reality, not as a problem. He didn't say, this was a real problem. I hope you understand that I have this problem and you'll pray for me to get over it. He's just stating it as a reality, as a fact, which probably there's really no way to know for sure, but probably was not evident to his readers, was not evident to the people in Corinth when Paul first came there, was not evident to the Corinthian church after people were saved and a church was established. They probably wouldn't have known this if Paul hadn't told them, but he did tell them. I understand that, and I'm sure virtually every minister of the gospel does. There are some people who just seem to have a sense of confidence, a lack of fear, who have no trouble with public speaking, seem to delight in it, seem to draw much energy and strength by interacting with people, and seem to have that kind of super confident personality. And some people would say that's a real plus in the ministry. And Paul would probably say, I'm afraid that's going to prove to be a weakness, a problem in ministry, because those who are that way are very likely, almost certain, to rely too much upon the strength of their own flesh and not enough upon the power of God. Remember later on in the 2 Corinthians epistle, Paul said that God told him, Christ told him, my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's power, God's strength, is not displayed in strong human vessels, but rather in weak ones. Ones who are weak, ones who are conscious of their weakness, of their inability, of their unimpressiveness. And Paul said, that's the way I was. I came to you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. And yet, in spite of that, many people in Corinth heard the gospel from the lips of the Apostle Paul and were saved. They heard him preach the gospel, and it arrested them. It changed them. It brought them into union with Christ. It brought them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It brought them into the family of God by this weak, trembling, unimpressive, deliberately unimpressive orator who just preached the simple gospel. And no doubt Paul mentions this, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, to show that self-confidence is not necessary for true success, that lack of confidence is actually a better position, that self-confidence is truly a liability, and that lack of self-confidence is a spiritual advantage, because human weakness depends upon the power of God, whereas human strength depends upon the power of man. And so Paul is saying these things to encourage others to minister in their human weakness, which should be a great encouragement to some of you who have concepts that God wants you to do this or that, but you feel your inadequacy. Good! That's the first requirement, actually, contrary to the usual way of thinking. But that's really the first requirement. Recognize your human inadequacy. Realize that without Christ you can do nothing. And then realize that in the will of God and in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do great things. Because God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day, and God give you his eternal peace.